love in every language, fluently spoken here. Checking to make sure this mic is on. It is. Before we get started, I want to ask permission of you to not put if I look around the church, shirt, the men in the house will know what I'm talking about. That shirt was choking me. I was so glad we did a baptism so I could take off my tie. So I just want to tell you, it's right here, saints. Okay. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John. The book of John, we're going to look at the 13th chapter, and we're going to look at verses 34 and 35. As on this Valentine's Day, on this baptismal day, we'll be thinking of the words love in any and every language. In John 13, we'll find Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he realizes his time is short. So he wants to give them probably one of the most important messages that they will ever hear from their Lord and Savior. Follow me as he says these words. A new commandment I give unto you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you do what, church? Love one another. By this shall all men know that we, the members of the Corona Seventh-day Adventist Church and the guest here today, by love shall everybody know that we are really disciples of Jesus Christ. Shall we bow our heads? God, you've given us an assignment today on Valentine's Day. Speak through me. Teach us what you want us to know. And we'll be very careful to give you the praise. We pray in your Son's name. Let everyone say with me, amen. It's interesting to me that Jesus began these words by saying, a new commandment I give unto you. Because in reality, this was not a new commandment. Jesus had spent the last 3 years trying to get them to understand that God is love, trying to get them to understand that love is what it's all about. And sometimes we as a church miss that part. And the experts believe that the reason he declared to them it's a new commandment, because they act like they didn't know it. So he said, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I've been trying to teach them about love for many years. So I'm just going to say today, this is new. I have a new commandment for you guys. And the new commandment is very plain and very simple. Love one another as I, Jesus, God, have loved you. I don't know how many of you have taken time to look at this document. I took it off the internet this week, and it is the 28 fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm not going to ask how many of you have read them, but I went through them carefully this week, and I'm of the opinion that there needs to be 29. I remember when there was 26. I remember when there was 27. I'm dating myself. Some of you remember that. And now there's 28. I looked through them carefully, and there's only one of the 28 that gets close to what Jesus said is the most important thing, and that's for us to love one another. There's only one that gets close to where Jesus was trying to focus and emphasize on when he was about to leave, and that was love. There's only one that gets close, and I'm saying the word close because it doesn't quite get there, to love. I'm a believer because years I was a youth director, and I spent a lot of time with young adults. Now, I fake it. I think I'm young. We're not going to go far into that. But I spend a lot of time with young people, and I'm really of the opinion in these last days that unless the Seventh-day Adventist Church actually understands that our fundamental message is love, and that's how we're going to reach the world, and that's how we're going to keep our young people, and that's how we're going to keep those who are in the church slipping out the back door, is through love. I went through it. I read every one of them. They're all important. I'll let you know what a few of them are. We should know the Holy Spirit. We should know about creation. We should know about the nature of man. We should understand the Lord's Supper. We should understand baptism. And we understand the law, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But God said in his last message to his disciples, but this is the most important one, that you love one another. I'm going to try my best to read to you the one that gets close. Some of you know me. I have dyslexia. That means I can't read. I am a chronic, what am I? Say it, son. S-T-U-D-D-E-R, stutterer. I have a hard time saying S's. And so consequently, I'm not really a good reader. By the way, the sermon is, title is sermon number 232. All that means is last Sabbath, Sabbath before last, in San Antonio, Texas, I preached sermon number 231, and next Sabbath is 233, for those of you who are wondering about that. All right, just letting you know, that's how that number arrived there. All right, now I have enough courage up to try to read. Here we go, church. Work with me on this one. I am totally a non-reader, but here it is. Number 14 of the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The only one that gets close to love. This church is one body with many members. Number 14. Called from every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. In Christ, we are new creatures. Distinction of race, culture, learning, and nationality, and differences between high and low, rich and poor, male and female, must not be divisive among us. We are all equal in Christ, who by one Spirit has bonded us unto one fellowship with him and with one another. We are to serve and be served without partiality or reservation. Through the revelation of Jesus Christ in his scripture, we share the same faith and hope and reach out in one witness to all. This unity has its source in the oneness of God, who has adopted all of us, to be his children. That is fundamental belief 14. That is the only belief I find in the 28 beliefs that focus on what Jesus and God are all about, and that's about love. Church, until we as a family learn how to love people for real, when they're in difficulty, love them for real. When they make mistakes, love them for real. When they go to drama, love them for real. Our first instinct is to do something else. But love on this Valentine's Day is what church is all about. This is a nice segue to what my real assignment is today. And I realize it is 11:57 and I'm skinny and I'm hungry, so don't worry, we won't go but so long because my feeble body won't let me. But this does lead us to what your pastor has given me as my assignment. Here it is. Now, don't be afraid when you hear it, because it sounds like it's really long. I'm going to make it really short. He said, Brian, Pastor Gary, you can do the baptism on Valentine's Day. But if you do that, I need for you to preach a sermon that covers Valentine's Day, Black History Month, and baptism. I told one of your elders, Chuck McKinstry, that this week, and he started laughing. He said, really? Amazingly, there is a story in the Bible that covers all three, and it focuses on love. Turn with me in your Bibles to the text that you already heard this morning. I'm going to go back to it. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26, and we'll just kind of meander our way through it. And remember, our focus today is three things. Love, love, love. Secondly, Black History Month. Thirdly, baptism, not in that order. That's just the way I'm putting them in. All right. Black History Month. What we're going to cover for the next few moments is a bit of black history in the Bible. There are characters in the Bible that people have often thought were black, not sure, debated, discussed. But the young man we're going to talk about today, there ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This was a brother. And for those of you in the room, let me say it again. This was a brother. This was a black man. And I'm going to show you how I know this as we get into it. All right, here we go. Verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said unto Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes toward Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian, an important officer in charge of all the finances and treasury of Candace, queen of Ethiopia. And this man had gone to Jerusalem for to worship. Pause. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, looking and reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Pause. All right, let's paraphrase that story. What do we have here? We have a brother who had driven all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. Now, let me show you how I know this brother was black. If you were to look on your map, you would discover that Ethiopia is bordered by Kenya. Can I hear amen? On the other side is Somalia. On the other side is Uganda. Does that sound like Africa to you, church? And his headquarters was closer to Kenya than it was to Israel by like a week. Are you listening to me here? If you watch the movies lately and watch the news, there are some pirates from Somalia, from Somalia, who have the habit of hijacking cargo ships. You've probably seen that. If you've seen those brothers, they are of a dark persuasion, like me and some of the other folk in the house. So it is quite obvious this guy really wanted to worship because he drove through Sudan, through Egypt, and through Israel just to get to Jerusalem to learn about God. Can I hear amen on that, church? He was serious. This wasn't accidental. He had no airplane. He had no Ferrari. He just went there. Now, I didn't use the word Ferrari by accident. Maybe I should have said Bentley. But if you read this carefully, you'll discover this was a rich brother. This brother had a chariot unlike most chariots. He had a chauffeur in his chariot. We're going to come to that in a minute. His chariot had enough room in it to sit two or three people. He was a bad mama jama. He was a rich man. Can I hear amen on that? So here you got a rich man coming from Africa going to Jerusalem. He wants to learn something about the Lord, and that is awesome. Black history in the Bible. Amen. Now we got that out the way. The Lord told him to get over to Jerusalem and head for the road going to Gaza. That is the road that takes you right dead into Egypt, right dead south. So that's, we've covered that well enough. Then the Lord told Philip, hey, I have a divine appointment for you. Can you hear me on that, church? We all hear about the term divine appointments. Some of us think, wow, is that real? Church, it's real. Divine appointments when God sets things up that you and I don't know about, or impresses and give us an impression to talk to somebody, to visit somebody, to help somebody. There is somebody in the church today, a good friend of mine named Chris Robinson. He was seeing me the other day, and it seems like every time we meet, it's a divine appointment. Where are you, Chris? Are you out there somewhere? I saw you a little way. There you go, right there. We believe in divine appointments, right, Chris? Say amen on that. All of us, God gives divine appointments to. Some of us don't listen hard enough or afraid to follow through on the appointments. But that's another whole sermon. Here we go. So here is a divine appointment. Go down, he said, and meet this brother. He needs help. And then in verse 29, he says, go and stand or stay by the chair. He said, just go and hang by the chair and listen. But Philip was a preacher. Philip got excited. He didn't just go and stand. Look at verse 30. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man in the chariot reading from Isaiah the prophet. Then Philip said, excuse me, sir, do you understand what you're reading? And Philip said, yo, brother, no. How can I understand if somebody didn't explain it to me? Then Philip says, you in luck? I'm a preacher. Amen, church. I know how to explain it to you. And he said, really? He said, get up here in my chariot, have a seat, and let's talk about this. And the eunuch started reading in the scriptures. Now, we've covered Black history. We've touched on Valentine's Day. But now we're going to zero in on love. What was the Ethiopian reading? He was reading one of the toughest passages in the Bible. But before I go that passage, I'm going to go right over that, and I'm going to go down to verse 34. And the eunuch asked Philip, while he was reading from Isaiah, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or somebody else? And Philip began with these words saying, this scripture is good news about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pause right there. He's reading from Isaiah 53. It's in Isaiah 53 where we discover the love of Jesus Christ. Turn with me, you can, in your Bibles to Isaiah 53. I have it here, and I just want you to kind of go through it. Isaiah 53, verses 7 and probably verses 8. And again, you know I'm not a public reader, so if I get in trouble, help me out, church. All right, here we go. Jesus Christ. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before the shear, but he did it in silence. So he did not open his mouth. Verses 8, right in the middle. For the transgressions of his people, that's us, for all transgressions, he was attacked and S-T-R-C-K-E-N and stricken. He was assigned the grave with the wicked. And with the rich, he died. Though he had done no violence, he had committed no sin, nor any guile or deceit was found in his mouth. Right there, Philip said, listen, brother, I'm going to tell you what this love is all about. He said, my man, Ethiopian, whatever your name is, Fred, he said, there is a God above who sent down his son, Jesus, from heaven to earth. To die for us. John 3:16 puts it how? For God so loved the world on Valentine's Day that he gave his only begotten son, say it with me, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should do what? Have everlasting life. And he began to explain that salvation story to the Ethiopian. And the Bible says, by not saying it, by what happened, that the Ethiopian was all ears. And he listened, and evidently he covered the John 3:16 story. He covered all the abuse that Jesus went through. By the way, if you read Isaiah 53, that's all about abuse. Jesus went through terrible abuse. Some of us in this house have been through abuse, but Jesus went through the ultimate abuse. They spat upon him, they beat him, they ignored him, they poked him in the side, they put thrones on his head, they mocked him, and then they killed him. That's as far as abuse could go. But he did all that for you and me because he loved this church. And he continued the story, and he said, and this God, this great God who sent this son, if you love him, if you love him and you want to follow him, you go through something called baptism. Now, how do I know he went baptism? Well, it's right here in the Bible. Let's keep on going here. Down in verse 34, 35, 36, and they traveled along the road and they came to, wow, a lake or some water. And the eunuch said, look, 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 Philip. There is a lake. There is water. What keeps me from being baptized? And he gave the orders for his chariot to stop. That's how I know he had a chauffeur. Are you with me on that, church? Hey, if he's driving that thing himself, he ain't gonna give no orders. But if he's in the back seat of his limousine, Bentley, chariot, he says, hey, George, stop. That's how I know he had a chauffeur. And he had them stop. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip was baptized. Pause. Now, I'm going to say what I'm going to say next very carefully, but it's important that I say it. I understand that our custom is, at Seventh-day Adventist, that when somebody's interested in Bible studies or interested in baptism, we always go through a bunch of Bible studies, which are very important, and at the end of that, we baptize. But church, I pastored in San Bernardino, California, in a place called the Ghetto. It was on Waterman. And I can't tell you how many young people came to me after a gang war, or after they were on drugs, or after I took them out of the hospital, or after some drama and trauma in their life, and they realized God was working through the church to save them. And they asked me, could I be baptized? And I said, once. You need to go through a bunch of Bible studies. And a young man looked me in the eye and said, can you baptize me now and do the studies later? And I remembered Philip, and I said, amen. Are you listening to me, church? And that young man came through. We did baptize him. Sometimes, church, you got to baptize somebody when they're ready. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes you have to baptize someone when they're ready. That young man hung around the church, stayed through it. I'm a basketball guy, and we played in a city league. He became our coach. He became our player. And I look around, I see Dr. Barker out there. Dr. Barker knows this young man, but I'm not going to tell his name. But this young man is still hanging around the church. But I baptized him first and gave him Bible study second, because he realized I need to give my heart to Jesus now. Are you listening to me, church? Sometimes you just have to go with the Holy Spirit and then do the homework. Let's go back to the text. And the eunuch took him down to the water, and they were baptized. And watch what happened next. And the eunuch did not see Philip again. Pause. Now, follow me. The Lord said, Philip, go down to the road, headed toward Africa on the desert. We don't know how he got there. But we believe he didn't take a chariot. And it's pretty obvious he probably didn't take a horse. But he got there, and he climbed in the chariot, and the brother from Africa was headed toward Africa. We don't know how fast, but we know. And we also are aware that he covered a lot. You see, he went to Jerusalem, the Bible says, to learn and to worship. I don't know what he learned in Jerusalem. I don't know if he learned so little till he had to read on it for himself, or he learned so much, he got excited, and he decided to read it for himself. I don't know which one. But I do know Philip took time to ride with him. And there's a good chance a half a day later, he was closer to Africa than he was to Jerusalem. And Philip is like, man, how am I going to get back? God said, it's a divine appointment. Don't you worry about it. I'll get you back. Watch how he got back. Okay, look at this carefully. And the eunuch. And when they came to the water, he took him down and baptized him. And the eunuch did not see him again because when they came to the edge of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. Pause right there. Somehow, the Holy Spirit said, you're done. You're through. You've met your divine appointment. It is over. And the Bible says, poof, he was gone. And the next time he showed up was about 180 miles away, worshiping with the saints. Church, here's what I want you to understand from today. We're talking about love. The foundation of what we're saying is love. And if we as a church don't plug into, then shall all men know that you are my disciples by loving everyone, especially those who are hard to love, especially those who are difficult, especially those that we think, you know, no, they don't dress right, they don't talk right, and they smell like cigarettes. I'm going to pause there. Those are the ones that some of us were, by the way. Those are the people we have to love, love, love. Go back through your Bible. You'll find it from Genesis to Revelation, all about God's love. And on this Valentine's Day, as you think about loved ones, your wife, your husband, your girlfriend, your mother, your friends, think about how God loved us. Think about what God has done for us. Think about he has guaranteed through his son dying that we will be saved if we choose to. And just think about Philip. And think about the Ethiopian. And how God said, go find this brother on the road. He's not somebody you would see in church, but he is somebody you will see in heaven. Did you hear what I said, church? He is not necessarily somebody you're going to see in church, but he is someone you will see in heaven because he's given his life to me. The song my wife sang, love in many, where you at, Esther? What's the song say, Esther? Love in any language. Love in any language. Love in any country. Love in any church. In closing, and I'm going to tell you now, it's 12:14. I took about a 45-minute sermon and talked it out and squeezed it to 30. And when Pastor Gary gets back, tell him I tried my best to get close to 12, but we ain't going to go there. As we think of Valentine's Day, as we think of Black History Month, as we think of Dominique, who I'm so proud of, who got baptized today, the Bible says that once Philip disappeared, that the Ethiopian headed on down the road rejoicing. This day as you leave church, I want us to rejoice for Dominique. I want us to rejoice for your baptism, whenever it was. And rejoice for those who are here today who haven't quite made that decision, but God is working on their hearts. But guess what? You have a role. Your role is to love, love, love. Love Black people, love white people. Love people from the Middle East, love people from the Far East. Love the members in the church who get on that one nerve, that one nerve, that one nerve. They wear it out, but you still have to love them. And through love, you might find they have two nerves, and one of them can love back. Can I hear amen? Let us bow our heads. Father, you've given us a unique assignment today. In one 30-minute session, you want us to cover love, Black History Month, and baptism. But you put a story in the Bible that is so awesome and so powerful till you wrapped it up for us. Thank you, God, for coming down and dying for us. Thank you for going through all the abuse you went through for our sake. And thank you, God, for giving us the commission to love. Then shall all men know that you are my disciples. It didn't say if you keep the Sabbath. But that's a part. It didn't say if you understand the 23 days prophecy. It doesn't say any of that. It says if you love. And then once you love, you will learn to do the things that make you happy. So God, make Corona Church a loving church. And as we go out today, may we meet somebody here who we don't know and love them. Thank you, God, for answering this prayer. And let the church say with me, amen.